such a contrast definition. I'm a student of Spencer because I certainly read more than half of his papers. And in fact, I'm of the one of the few people in the world who has three volumes of collected works of Spencer. Because in the 80s, a few people at Regensburg decided to take some selected works of selected people and to do a huge copying job and to bind it, and so now we have these volumes. Unfortunately, Spencer kept on proving interesting results, so my collected works are now very incomplete. So my talk, maybe some people have heard this talk before. My excuse is that this was in Europe and not everybody has heard it. The other excuse is that, or reason is, that it reflects really a lot of relationship of what I'm doing with constructions or results or conjectures Spencer has done. Okay, so I start with certainly a very... So, first I should mention the title says Finiteness of Motivic Cohomology and Resolution of Singularities. I prove neither of them, but I want to show that one, namely resolution of singularities, implies the other, the finiteness of motivic cohomology. I'm sorry for this. So, start with X, regular, and of finite type. For Z, so that's an arithmetic scheme, and then there's a folklore conjecture saying that the motivic cohomology H I motivic X Z of G is a finitely generated abelian group. Okay, I'm going to do this. So this is H I X Zariski homology of the Zariski motivic sheaf. And you can represent this by the Zariski sheafification of Spencer's cycle complex. So it's ZR, maybe I want to have R here for later to fit with what I'm writing down later. So ZR X, and here you take 2R minus star. So Zariski sheafification of Spencer's complex of higher cycle. Okay, and what is known, this is very sad, of course, so only known in general. So this first is that so Dirichlet unit theorem and model veil. So says so H2 motivic XZ of 1, which is the Picard group, and H1 motivic Z of 1, which is the group of units, global units, these are finitely generated. Okay. And second thing known is Quillen. In general, this conjecture A, true for curves for dimension x equals 1. And then the third was for K-group, but in this case, I mean, since motivic cohomology is not so far from K-groups, again, in dimension 1, then you're fine as well. Right. Of course, this is, I should have mentioned this. This is, of course, sort of a variant of Bass conjecture. Yeah. Dimension one, yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's both cases, arithmetic. So this is just a finite type over Z. Yeah. Right? And then the third is already with participation of Spencer. That's due to higher classes theory. Colliot-Tellane, Saint-Cyr-Solé. So if X is regular and projective, and of dimension D over Z, then H2D motivic X Z of D, which is the codimension D, Chow group of codimension D cycles, Fulton's definition, Chow 0, or the lower 0 cycles, 0 dimensional cycles, that this group is finitely generated. Okay, so otherwise, not very much. So observation, the following. All results are obtained via certain regulator maps from these groups to some other groups. Think, for example, of the Dirichlet unit theorem, regulators from the units to some other space, or also cycle maps. Also here, Borel regulator for Quillen. So, for example, in last case, higher class theory, one has Chow 0 modulo n for all integers, and you have a reciprocity map into the abelianized fundamental group mod n. And so this is, there are some slight changes in the arithmetic number field situation, but basically isomorphism for all n. And then an additional argument shows the group itself is finitely generated. So this is also visible in the proof of model Weyl. You first proof weak model Weyl, modulo n, and then you do something extra, in that case height, to prove finite generation. So we follow this, obtain some new results. So also the second observation, again observation, is that rho x is identified with in fact we already know that this is H2D motivic X Z. So and in fact here you can also take motivic cohomology with finite coefficients, and this goes to, so this turns out to be etale cohomology, H2D etale X Z mod N D D, and usual K-twist and some modification for the case that N is divisible by the characteristics. So in any way, you have somehow just a cycle map or regulator map from motivic cohomology to etale cohomology. And again, we will follow this. So here, this is motivic cohomology with finite coefficients. And by its construction, you take the block complex with finite coefficients. You have always an exact sequence like this, so to say, universal coefficient theorem, mod n, then here comes the cohomology with finite coefficients. And then here you have the n torsion in the next one. And then, of course, one is led to a weaker conjecture, conjecture B. So conjecture is that H Q motivic X Z mod N R is finite. So this is a really finite result then for all N and all Q and R, of course. So relates to conjecture A, of course, tension, like weak model will to proper model will. Okay, so in this weak sense, more is known, but again depending on something. But we also want to consider these psychomaps more generally. So psychomaps I will call it psychomaps, not regular maps, and then I will discuss our results. So the definition of the Ital cohomology takes some care, because as I said, one has to do something special if n is not invertible in the on the scheme. So there are two cases. So there's the geometric case, and also I will discuss the cases differently. So X is smooth over the base is there spec FQ, finite field with we usually call this F with Q elements. And the arithmetic case X regular and flat over B spec Z. So first we consider the geometric case. Now let geometric case. So X smooth. Now for a moment then consider over any perfect field K. Then Geiser and Levine constructed, in fact, such psychomaps QRX, which go generally from HQ motivic X Z mod N R to the Ital cohomology. And here, as usual, which is now standard, how to define this sheaf here. So this is the usual Tate twist generated by the roots of unity, nth root of unity, tensor power. And then for the P part, you take W nu omega R X log, the logarithmic part, and you place it in degree R, if n is m times p to the nu, and m is prime to the characteristic. P is the characteristic. And this is the usual logarithmic part of the Durham-Witt complex for level nu. And then there's also a result due to Geiser and Levine complementing earlier results by Süsslin and Wojewodski. That you have an isomorphism, in fact, for these regulator maps or cycle maps. So Süsslin Wojewodski and Geiselin. So this is with resolution of singularities and n invertible, and this is without any assumption. So if the Milner Bloch Kato conjecture, just write Bloch Kato conjecture ML holds for the prime, I will explain, L and for the prime L, nothing more, then this cycle map rho QR X is an isomorphism for all Q up to R. And in fact, one has some injective for Q equal to R plus 1. Okay. Pardon? Yeah, n is power of L, right, L to the nu. Mm-hmm. Right, thank you. Okay. So maybe I already now write down the picture for motivic homology, where we are with the degrees. So for motivic homology, write down HQ motivic X, Z, mod N. Well, any N again, R. So this is Q and this is R. And then you have the diagonal. So Q equals R, which one could call Milner line, because this corresponds to a Milner K theory in some sense. And then you have, so somewhere is the dimension D, and so this is also D, and then I have 2D, D here, and then this is the line where the cycles lie, so cycles, and of course related to conjectures of Hodge and Tate. And then one knows that everything below these two are these two lines are zero, so here's zero, and Geiser-Levine takes care of this part. We have an isomorphism. Well, and also here, I mean, for motivic homology with Z coefficients, it's a big problem if this is zero here, but I mean, here there's no problem. And also there's this next line. Geiser and Levine. Yes? And they show that if a certain conjecture holds, which I will recall, then this is the the isomorphism in this range is also called the Baylinson-Lichtbaum conjecture, and it follows from the Brocato conjecture. So, okay, now I will explain. The dotted line, well, this is the Q plus, the just next line, R plus 1. You have injectivity. So in any way, the finiteness would be fine. Yeah. So I should mention also, so this result means, so implies finiteness in this range if K is F is finite. And just a little remark, on the other hand, since you have an isomorphism here, for Q at most R, and since you know that in general, for general fields, for example, for number fields, you do not have finiteness here, you do not have finiteness there. So, I mean, it's really specific to the finite fields case, the finiteness, or the arithmetic case later. Okay, so now I discuss this conjecture. So, BK, maybe RL, means the following Milner did this for, introduced this for L equals 2. Milner Block Cato conjecture. So the cup product is one formulation, so there are several. So you take the, and it's also is okay if P is the characteristics. So this works similarly. Otherwise, this is, of course, roots of unity, but not if this is L. This is L is equal to P, the characteristic. So this map is surjective for L finitely generated field over K. So this is over K, the field, means that this holds. So Galois cohomology holds for by and over F over K, then this holds. Yeah, excuse me? This is Q, I find. R, okay, yes, right. So then this should also be R, right? Okay. Sorry. Dangerous to change notations. So, of course, this is related to the isomorphism between the quotient of this, which is the Milner K theory, to this Galois cohomology group. But maybe I mention this in this form because you can read this already sort of as a question in Spencer's Duke notes, if it could be possible that this map is surjective. And some results on this. Okay. Okay, and the status of this, so of course, I have to mention this. So, surjectivity known, so this is known. The hold is Q, now if R is 2, so this is the famous theorem of Mathieu-Suslin. Or L equal to the characteristic of the field. Again, log Pierce. Mercator, Gerber, or L equals 2, so 2 powers, this is Vygotsky. And the proof in general, was announced by Vygotsky, Rost and Vygotsky. Maybe not by both together, but by each of them. So. Right. I think this is pretty exactly the status. Okay, so anyway, it's a reasonable working assumption for us. At least there are some cases where it's known. And now I come to the results. I hear, and now I just notice that I forgot to say that everything what I do here is joined with Shuji Saito. Particular now our first theorem. Pardon? You ask other people. This, then I killed my talk. So first theorem is X, let X be smooth and projective. So now we concentrate mainly on the case where X is not merely smooth but also projective, as in this class field theory case. And I will, in a minute, I will assume resolution of singularities for this, and some type at least, and then if you have a resolution of singularities, then anyway you can also go to other smooth schemes. So this better to state the results like this here. Smooth projective of dimension D. Over finite field. F. Then rho x, now I take an S D, so the K twist is D, and it's the S homology. And L is some prime fixed prime. So into the Ital analog. Also the T twist is an isomorphism, and now the result is for all S with S between 2D and 2D minus Q. Q will appear now. To appear. This is in the assumptions. Coming. Q will appear now, and resolution will appear now, and everything will appear now. So I also need Brocato conjecture for degree Q plus 2 and this prime L. Now we have Q. And first case, Q is at most 1. So this always has to be assumed. And now there are three conditions. A certain form of resolution of singularities depending on D, or certain other form of resolution of singularities depending on Q holds. Okay, no condition apparently on this, if in this case. Okay, so then this is an isomorphism, and so you get conjecture A in this case, in this range, because the etheric homology also for the P part, if it happens to be P, is known to be finite. Okay, so conjecture B, yeah.
I thought I could cheat you, but
okay. So where are we? So if Q, I mean, there, apparently for Q equals zero, there's no condition here. And this is the class field theory result. And this is here. So at this edge, vanishing here, and this edge on the cycles line. Q equals one is the next step here. Right? This is here. And if I have Q equals 2 and so on, resolution of singularities for all these Q, then I could go to this point and I'm safe here. And also, I should already say now, maybe time is short later to mention this. If I have it for this point, I'll also have it on all these lines above. So the idea would that this method somehow gives this range here. And only this triangle remains a complete mystery. Now for these conditions. So RSD means the following weak, it's rather weak, but of course not known, absolute form of resolution of singularities. My own wire, is this okay? RS1, D. So for any x integral and proper of dimension at most D over F, there exists a proper birational pi x prime to x such that x prime is smooth, and of course then smooth and proper. We can not do with alterations because we look at torsion here, and the Young's technique, of course, gives you a lot of degrees there. And RS2. Otherwise, I could. You mean for x the proper? I only want this for proper to have this result for. It's smooth and projective, maybe also. Okay. I just want to assume this here in theorem one for AX smooth and projective. Well, okay, let's make a deal. So I prove it for proper things and you do the rest. Thank you. So for any U,
now here's smooth.
No, for any V, smooth of dimension at most D over F, there exists, I write it here, there exists a U in V, non-empty, open, such scheme, and a good compactification, not necessarily for V, but for U, and an open immersion. Immersion U in some X, where X is smooth projective, and Y, the complement is the normal crossings divisor.
Maybe a strict one, but simple normal crossings divisor.
Okay, so RSD is known for D at most 2. And now for the other condition. Now you see that's the one condition. So here you need to know something for things up to dimension D. Okay? Resolution of singularities up to dimension D. Now the next one is of a different flavor. It's somehow more difficult, but involves only smaller dimension. That's the advantage of the second condition, alternative condition. So RSQ means following a form of embedded, strong form of embedded resolution of singularities. So for any smooth projective variety X over F and any simple normal crossings divisor Y on X and any integral closed subscheme W on X of dimension, so this now needs the dimension at most Q. So if Q, for example, up to 1, we deal with curves on X and so on. With W intersecting U smooth, where U is the complement of this normal crossings divisor, there exists again pi X prime to X proper projective morphism such that two conditions hold again. Oh, three conditions. Well, I mean, you have to do it for all W, so you cannot escape. Yeah. So, what do you want? You want that X prime is smooth, and you do not have any J change over U. Then the full inverse image of Y, let's write it like this, is a simple normal crossing divisor. And I don't know why I stick to this one. The proper transform W tilde, fine. Yeah. U. Thank you. Is smooth and intersects Y prime transversely. Okay, so you have to. So what's this is a kind of embedded resolution of singularities, of course, for W. I mean, we have already. So X is already smooth and projective. Only W might be singular, and you want to modify it outside the smooth part U, such that you get the transform is smooth. And of course, then proper as well, I mean, closed subscheme, but also intersects nicely with the corresponding normal crossing divisor above. Okay, so. Are we discussing now the empty set?
So.
Maybe I want, because I want things, okay. I want things that come from U. So then we just, and they should be spread it out. So, I give up. I see, you know the proof. Okay, so then it's already, we found it can be shown for Q equals 1. But I mean, it's some little exercise, but didn't find it so easy. So, and experts think that RES2 holds, but details have to be filled in. So in fact, Julie and I, we think that we can manage, but I do not want to make too extraordinary claims. So I will like to talk about this project next week, and you will see maybe how this goes. So there's also some speculation. You might think if maybe RESQ just follows from the usual embedded resolution of singularities, I mean, where you omit this divisor, so you just forget about the Y, and but I cannot do it yet. I mean, we cannot see, I mean, how this can be done. Yeah, all these things hold in characteristic zero, yes. Fine? Yeah, they hold, I mean, but I mean, it's something that we have in characteristic zero, and I like always to point out that people in Hodge theory are just lucky that somebody proved this for them, whereas people over finite fields don't have it. So. It's, Okay, so then I mentioned already, I don't make it explicit, as I said, one can go higher up the lines, that's just by using the projective bundle theorem. And, okay, so maybe... So we get some unconditional result here, Q equals 1, and hopefully also for Q equals 2. And now what about conjecture A? So with some extra assumptions, so using a technique of Soulet, it's really a very interesting paper, further generalized by Thomas Geiter, and also see also later papers by Bruno Kahn and myself, get the following theorem 3. So assumptions as in theorem 2 assume further that, I'm afraid so, let's see, because I've omitted theorem 2 is okay. Theorem 2, yeah, okay, it's for the completeness, so it can go up. To HSM X Z of R. Just a second. Yeah. The assumption. Yeah. That's right. Okay. Yeah, that's better. Okay. Okay. Forget about this one. Yes. Assumption is in theorem 1. Yeah. The logic is correct now. Okay. I tell you afterwards. No, this is the going up theorem. So assume further that X is finite dimensional. In the sense of Kimura, Shunichi Kimura and O'Sullivan, Peter O'Sullivan. Then there is an isomorphism of finite groups . Okay, so then I can go to conjecture A. I'll remove this. Finite groups H, S, M. And now I know why I wanted to refer to theorem 2. So all primes P, H, S, etal, ZP of R, and this is in fact a finite group, for 2R minus S greater than or equal to S and greater than or equal to 2R minus Q, and now I have to tell you the relationship with D, so and R, D, and you assume that, of course, Bock-Cutter conjecture holds for all these primes.
holds for all L. And the assumption are these lines above, I mean, these lines with slope 1 above the line R equals D. Okay? So, and the... pardon? Holds for P. Because I wrote P there. And so the this assumption, I mean, the finite dimensional T, so holds for X is the product of abelian varieties and curves. Okay, so you have the unconditional, I mean, a result on in this range. Okay, now let me just mention the arithmetic case briefly, and then I will discuss the one idea about the proof. I guess so, but let me see.
You mean it could be the slope one line?
2R minus... 2R minus 1, I said. I wanted to say 2R minus 1. Now, I think that now it's correct. Okay, not correct. So now, briefly about the arithmetic case. So theorem. So I'm brief here. So I should maybe I mention this in the definition. So for again joint work with Schütz-Sato. So let X be regular, flat, projective scheme over the ring of integers. Okay, in a number field, in a, and for simplicity, let's say a totally complex number field. Okay, assume each closed fiber of this arithmetic scheme over spec K is a simple normal crossing divisor, so it's smooth or simple normal crossing, and let D equal the dimension. And fix a prime P and assume this is for problems we still have with Piatti-Koch theory. That X has good reduction at all places above P, so above P. All place P above P in K. So then, if you assume that the Bloch-Kato conjecture in degree 3 is true, then you get a conjecture B of an instance assuming Bloch-Kato 3P for all for all finite degenerate fields, you get H2D minus 1 motivic X Z mod P to the nu Z D is isomorphic to H2D minus 1 etal, and here you write something
similarly. And this is certain complex. So now we work over Z. So one has to do something. And here, since we have semistable reduction, you can take it complex introduced by Kanetomo Sato. So away from, you can regard it as a complex which comes from OK in some sense. And if you're away from the primes above P, then this is just a K-twist, and at P you have to modify. Okay, so that means, so in this range, so 2D and D was, again, the class fit result, and 2D minus 1, in the next step, and you need that you can also do this resolution RES1 also in the arithmetic case, so to say arithmetic curves on something of arbitrary dimension. And the point is that this is also this group here is finite. This is also some non-trivial result proved by Sato that this is a finite group. Okay, I think my time is basically over. I just want to mention how the resolution of singularity comes into the picture. That just gives you just a little idea. And the point is that you localize. And as for the proof, so you first have the main theme is localization. And for one thing, this means somehow you once more again use block Owens theory. You have a Niebuhr spectral sequence, and for the study of this Niebuhr spectral sequence, everything boils down to a certain complex which we call the Kato homology, which is just the can be shown to be the block Owens complex in a certain for a certain degree. And to deal with this Kato homology, there's a conjecture by Kato, Kato conjecture, and it boils to show that this is a particular simple form, so that this is Z mod NZ, so let's say for finite coefficients, if A is 0 and 0 otherwise. And if you want to show this, then you compare this cohomology with some other cohomology, A tilde A, and this is constructed new cohomology, homology theory, constructed by a method of Gillet and Soulet, the paper on weight complexes. And here you need RS1 to this. And then show, and this is not so difficult to construct a morphism, and this cohomology has the property which is written here. So this is a conjecture, and this cohomology, by the very definition, has already this property. But now you have it for all schemes, and then you can localize and then use RS2 to compute the cohomology, both hand sides, and show phi is an isomorphism. And then you prove this Kato conjecture, and then you prove via localization this result. Okay, thank you. Real places. No, not prime 2. Real places. I mean, I have to modify definitions on. That's not a big deal. The usual problem for a number field, you have to bring the real places into the picture, and they do some extra two components in there. But the modification is not difficult.
The prime 2
for the torsion in the cohomology. It's not at the places above 2, but the two primary part of cohomology takes in another part from the real places. which has to be dealt with in the usual way. Number theory knows. Actually, I don't know what the result is, so... Ah, okay. So maybe we have a new theorem after that. I don't know.